Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
To you as well. Glad to have you with us. Did everybody have a good Independence Day? Time to celebrate Independence Day? How many of you got to see fireworks? Just a handful? Okay, some of us. All right. All right. Well, it's always an interesting thing. We as people in the United States of America, we certainly do value freedom. Amen. We're glad to have our freedom. And there's something within our DNA as a nation that longs for freedom. And we really get angry or we're moved when we see oppression, whether it be internally or somewhere else in the world. It's just something within us as a nation and how we were formed and born. And ironically, as fallen human beings, what I have found is that many of the things, and you tell me if you can relate to this or if you've seen this in your life or maybe a loved one's life, there are some things that some folks can do with their freedoms that actually lead them into bondage. You understand what I'm saying? We have freedom, but there are some things that we do with our freedom that actually end up taking away some of our freedom. And so this is interesting because sometimes that type of expression of freedom actually takes us into a greater bondage. Now, yesterday we celebrated a very interesting Independence Day. For me, it was interesting on several reasons, and mainly to do with where we are currently in our nation. For one, in light of this COVID-19 pandemic, as a nation, many have willingly and some very unwillingly given up of some of their freedoms, some of their independence in the name of personal health and some in the name of public health. And now while there are some who see this as an assault on their freedoms, others have embraced the idea of being a temporary intervention to protect the vulnerable in our community or in our nation or in our world. Many Independence Day celebrations, as we learned yesterday, were hampered by some COVID restrictions. Some events were canceled and some even had protests. It's also interesting to me, and as I look at yesterday, the irony that in light of all the social and societal implications of the recent protests and riots, and I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I feel my age. I'm beginning to feel like a grumpy old man, because this is my belief. I still believe that in spite of our flaws, which may be many, that we live in the greatest nation on earth. I still believe that. I'm not asking for an amen, but I appreciate that. But I'm telling you my feeling and my thought. And so I'm saying that. And that's why I believe so many people still desire to want to come to this great nation. We have brought freedom and prosperity. And yes, I can. And I believe that we will do a better job in making that dream accessible to all people. And as we commit to do that, I believe that that will happen. But I do not believe we're a perfect nation. But I want us to remember, we are a young nation. Our birth, 244 years old. We're just a baby of a nation. I mean, consider this, the Italian culture. I used to live in Italy. The Italian culture is over 2,000 years old. My son was supposed to study in Greece this year. The Greek culture is over 2,700 years old. Okay? So just get a little bit. Many other cultures have struggled with some of the same issues that we have struggled with. And they've struggled for a long, long, long period of time. Now, that is not in any way, shape, or form an excuse or an attempt to validate any of our shortcomings. But I want to tell you, yesterday, my heart was broken for many reasons. And one, because we live in a day and an age where every stride that we seem to have made as a nation has been ignored or minimized, while areas that we still have to grow in or to achieve our national ideals of liberty and justice and opportunity for all are used as a cudgel to destroy the very foundational underpinnings of our republic. One nation under God with liberty and justice for all. As Americans, we value freedom and we value independence, correct? Can we all agree that? We want this for everyone. So, I think that we have hit a crossroads here where we have some very interesting choices in front of us. We have choices of embracing secular humanism to even a bigger degree, which I would argue is actually a form of neo-Marxism, however you try to package it to make it more palatable, to approach our national problems, or a theistic approach in which we have seen the foundation of our nation established in. I want to encourage us all, as Christ followers in a diverse nation, we need to pray and to apply the teachings of Jesus Christ to our world, to our society today, more than ever. One of our nation's founding fathers said it very well. I'd like to read a quote from John Adams, and this was from his diary in February 22nd, 1756. John Adams said this: "Suppose a nation in some distant region," I'd like to take the word distant age, but we'll just say distant region, "take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience, to temperance, frugality, in industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence towards Almighty God." What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be. I say yay and amen. I say yay and amen to that sentiment. You see, this was, again, the second president of the United States of America. This was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. I'll remind you that Ben Franklin said, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom." And so, my church family, that brings us to our conversation today. As I wrestled, I had another message prepared, and I just was stirring. And so, actually, yesterday I came back in to try to rework some things, and I'm bringing you this today. And in a broader context, I want to ask the question: How can we achieve a virtuous society and sustain freedom? How can we do that? Because I think that's what we all want. In a broader context, how can we even be free? So three very quick thoughts for us today that I believe will actually counter our normal Independence Day narrative. Now, while, you know, these are very critical, very critically important in this day and age, because we live in the era of individualism. I want to tell you that, you know, a decade ago, I don't think we had selfies. When did the selfie stick come into existence? Was that more than a decade ago? But I mean, in the past 15 years at least, I know when I came to Pittsfield, selfies weren't the big deal. But since I've been here, we didn't have things like selfie sticks. And everything is about me, 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 me. Would you agree, my church family, that we live in a society that is overwhelmingly individualistic? And we see it as people choose their truth. Everything is about appeasing me, and we have become an incredibly self-centered, narcissistic culture. And I would also say that in the midst of that self-centeredness and narcissism, that we have become incredibly self-righteous, to say that our truth there. You see, this is a huge problem with relative truth, because relative truth literally says, "I will suspend the laws of the universe and even of nature for my point of view and my perspective, and you must acquiesce." This stands against, in stark contrast, with the eternal truth of the love of God presented to us through Jesus Christ. And so my thought for today, my main idea for today, actually I just have one point today. Praise God for that! But I got two sub-points. So my first point and my only point today, as Dr. Grace would say, my thesis today, is true freedom comes from dependence, not independence. That we as Christ followers, now I'm not trying at all to say anything against our nation's underpinnings. I'm saying that there's a special challenge for us. It feels tough to say that. It really feels tough to say, because it feels un-American to say that true freedom comes from dependence, not independence. But the truth is, You know, we as American citizens here, we're the type of people who want to throw tea into a harbor if we feel oppression. Don't tell us what to do, right? We don't like being told what to do. I mean, that, and yes, that thought worked for the American Revolution from England. But I want to tell you that in terms of eternity, it's not about what I can do for God. It's not about that. This is what sets the Christian mindset apart. In terms of eternity, it's about what God has already done for us and how we adhere to that. That's what sets Christianity apart. We do not fix ourselves, church family. We do not cleanse our own souls. True freedom does not come from man, from government, from civil authority. It comes from God. In fact, from a God who's been reaching out to you to set you free. That's why the founding fathers of our Constitution talked about these rights that were from God. They transcend a nation. They are God-given. And I believe that this Father in heaven who is reaching out through the ages to you and to me today wants us to be free from the bondages of sin, the bondages of addiction, victimization, abuse, neglect, legalism. Jesus came to set the captives free. And I want you to know that there are areas in my life that Jesus needs to set me free. Would you say that you have some areas in your life? And before you say, no, I don't have any, consider what comes out your mouth. Now, would you like to join me once again? Who needs God to set you free? How many of you are captive to you know, many things? Some of us are captive to thoughts. Some of us have such negative self-images. And God looks at you and says, I love you and you are precious. And we look at ourselves and we think, oh, I'm horrible and I'm unlovable. And no, God says, you have value. You have worth. Jesus came to set the captives free. If something is holding you captive in your thoughts, if you're fearful, if you have past hurts and they change how you think and you can't see your life different, I want you to know that Jesus is here to set you free eternally, not just for a quick experience, but forever. John 8:36 says that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So let's pick up this thought. The true freedom comes from dependence, not independence. And I'd like to turn to the Word of God a couple of places. And let's start at what the Apostle Paul says to the Christians in the Galatian church. As he's writing to the Galatians, these individuals in the fellowship were trying to get eternal freedom through following a prescribed set of deeds. They were wrestling with this. They had kind of stepped away from the grace of Christ and were trying to through legalism, make themselves right in God's sight. And here's what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. He says, let's all read this together. This is a very, very powerful scripture, right? 1, 2, 3. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to just press into this verse for just a few moments before we move on. It says, look, I have been crucified with Christ and it is no longer I who live. In other words, Paul is saying he is dependent on Jesus every day. He is no longer living in his own strength, but he is living each and every day of his life through being crucified with Christ. How much different would our life look? You know, literally, I think it's a good exercise for us of when we start to get angry, when we start to be tempted, to literally go back to the cross. Don't move away from the cross of Jesus Christ. Stay connected to the cross. A hymn writer once said, Jesus, keep me near the cross. And that's a great notion. That is a fantastic notion for all of us, to stay near the cross, to continually to be dependent on Jesus for everything in terms of our right standing with God. It's a poor theology that says Jesus took care of my past and now I am responsible for taking care of my present and my future. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. You must be dependent upon Jesus. And then we serve Him not out of guilt. We serve Him out of love and appreciation. And for those motivations, our life is changed. By Paul joining in this faith, he is now living each day of his life in the liberty that Jesus offers him. We need to depend on what Christ has done and not ever become independent from Christ's work in us once for all. Jesus gives us another analogy, and as I was, I've got something I want to share about this, but let's read John chapter 15, verses 4 through 11. Here's maybe a better analogy for us to think about. And I know those of you who like to garden, this might resonate with you here today, okay? Jesus says, abide in me. Now, if you're saying to abide, it means you're going to stay connected. Everybody say, stay connected. Stay connected. Abide, live, dwell in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Look at those words. Unless you abide in me. He goes on to say, verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, here's huge. Apart from me, you can do what, gang? What can you do apart from Christ? Okay, you can do nothing. Now, nothing is a pretty all-inclusive word. So do you think that you can keep yourself free apart from Christ? No. Can you keep yourself right in Jesus' eyes apart from Christ? No. If anyone does not abide in me, well, here's the contradiction. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch that withers. And the branches are gathered and they're thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, people have mistaken this verse. They're like, oh, so we can just do anything. Well, you know, I want a gazillion dollars. Are you really, is that your request if you're abiding in him? If I'm abiding in him, my requests are going to be something like Jesus. Not my will be done, but your will be done. I'm going to be wanting to be where he wants me to be. I'm going to be realizing that my life is not just about me, but I have a life that is filled with purpose that is given from God. He's going to say, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Well, okay, that's one way that we can continue to abide in his love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. In other words, when we abide in Christ, life is better. It doesn't mean we're exempt from struggles. It doesn't mean we're exempt from hard times. It doesn't mean that we're exempt from even trials and tribulations. It means that in the midst of all those things, we are not alone. The storms may rise, but Jesus is in the boat. And we can take a cue from him. We can take a cue from him that he's greater than the storms around us. Now, I started this year a straw bale garden. I've never done that before, and Jenny Tate gave me a great instruction on it, and so I kind of took her advice, and I began to prep the things, and I got up, and oh my heavens, it's so cool, and I just got overzealous, and so I planted zucchini and tomatoes and all kinds of things, and I realized I had more plants than necessarily my space could handle, and now they are growing up, and I have a jungle in my backyard, and it's awesome. And I have these, I took some fencing that I got from Hamer, and I made this big bridge, and my tomato plants are vined up in it, and it's like I have this entire tomato garden, and they're just now coming, the fruit is there, and they're just now beginning to ripen, and it's fun to kind of go out, and I have zucchini coming out of my ears. My wife is like, zucchini spaghetti. Okay, chopped zucchini, curry zucchini. We're having zucchini every day. It's wonderful. I love it. Yay. But we had that big storm. And I went and checked on my little garden there. I say, it's tiny. It's just a small thing. It's like 8 bales. And one of the tomato branches had taken, you know, a bunch of wind damage, and I have them kind of in this fence to kind of keep them together, but it had broken, and it was down. Is that tomato plant, is that branch that's broken going to yield fruit? No. It stopped. It laid. I mean, it was there. It became disconnected. The storms of life, and for several reasons, okay, this one branch grew out away from the main vine. This branch, instead of all the others that stayed within the realms that kept them connected and kept them together, this branch just kind of went erroneous, off on its own way. Kind of like we do in life, right? We like to kind of go off on our own way. And then when the wind came and the storms came, it severed its connection with the main vine. And thus it laid on the ground and withered and died. And as I looked at it, it was hard. You know, for it needed to stay connected to survive. And I want us to understand that the independent spirit that some of us cultivate, that sometimes we kind of feel as part of our national identity, it might be essential for our nation, but boy, I tell you what, it's very detrimental in Christ. Our independence may have brought freedom there, but it's your independence doesn't bring you freedom in Christ. We have to war against it. So my sub point number one is we as Christ followers must value our dependence on Christ. Gang, we have to value it. You have to value it. True freedom comes from dependence, not independence. That's the big idea. But, you know, in the shadow of Independence Day, I want you to know that we as Christ followers must value dependence upon Christ. And I mean 100% dependence on God. We are not ever independent from Him. And when we stray to independence from God, we suffer, we fall, and ultimately we will lose our freedom in Christ. Let's look at this for a second. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. So God created mankind. He created creation, the heavens and earth, and He said everything. It was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was very good. And then all of a sudden something happens in Genesis 2, 18. We see something we haven't seen before. Then the Lord God said, it is, what are the next two words? What? Because up to this point, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then, something's not good. What is not good? Man to be alone. What is the need? I will make a helper for him. I think that's very interesting. Because, you know, I'm going to catch you in a trick question. What's the helper that God made for men? Come on, say it. What? Woman. Okay, but there's another helper God made for man, the Parakletos in the Greek, the Holy Spirit. Was man alone? Yes and no. Yes, man was alone. There wasn't a suitable helper for him to fulfill his purpose in reproducing. No, so yes, God made woman, and that's fantastic, and that's great. But as I kind of pondered on this a little bit deeper, God didn't create us for independence. God created us for interdependence. In other words, to be dependent upon something. And I want to tell you, the something that God wants us dependent upon is not someone, it's Him. To think that you are going to become fulfilled because of a relationship, that ain't going to cut it, gang. In fact, when we look at eternity, that's why in heaven it says, no, there's people aren't going to be given in marriage in heaven in eternity. Why? It talks about that we're going to be married. We're the bride of Christ. And that is our true helper. I mean, so yes, Adam was alone. I'm not trying to say he wasn't, but in another sense, no, he wasn't. And what is evident is what happens when Eve comes, when God makes woman, and then Adam and Eve are together, what do? They run and they hide from the presence of God. I shouldn't jump right now. COVID doesn't like me jumping. Gang, don't become independent. When we become independent, we lose our liberty. We lose our freedom with God. Be dependent. Stay connected. The irony of all ironies is that Adam and Eve hide themselves amongst the leaves, the very thing that God created them to tend and destroy. And how many of us try to hide from God in the midst of our works? My relationship with God feels faulty, so I'm going to do a bunch of things. I'm going to do some service. And because when I do service for God, it feels like it appeases me and all is right with the world. I feel good when I do something for God because I've taken care of myself. Where does that come from? An independent spirit. It's great to do good works. You were created to do good works in Christ. But if we look at that, there's a bigger meaning at the first part. In fact, my second point is this. We as Christ, or my third, I'm sorry, my second subpoint. We as Christ followers must value our interdependence. Just like I shared about my tomato plant needing to stay connected to survive, we need to say interdependent to survive. We have to be totally dependent upon Christ. Would you agree with that statement, church family? Okay? But there's another thing. Not only do we have to stay totally dependent upon God, we are interdependent on one another. When I looked at that branch that fell off of the vine of my tomato plant, I picked it up and here's this branch, and then there were all these other branches on it, and all of those connection had been severed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, as we get ready to wrap up our message, the Apostle Paul tells us about the body of Christ, and he says that just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. In other words, gang, we have need of one another. Look around the room. Look, if you're at home, look at the person you're there. If you're not, just I want you to look at some of the people who you're streaming with or consider them. You have need of one another. And I want to tell you that is why we are called as a body of Christ. You need your brothers and sisters. You see, what we have sometimes done, and I've been worried during this COVID pandemic, our goal in the church is that we learn in rows, but we grow in circles. In other words, small groups gathering together. You need to meet with brothers and sisters in Christ for you to continue to grow. You can't come in and just grow in rows. You grow in groups. Okay, gang? That's why we need to do. It's just a small group person calling. Don't worry about it. So that's what we need to do. We learn in rows. We grow in groups. There is need for connection. We need not only to be blessed and encouraged by one another, but here's my other challenge to us as interdependents. You need to be able to be there for someone else. You need to be available for each other. You have a responsibility and you have opportunity to grow from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 14. And can we all read this together? For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve who? One another. In other words, your freedom in Christ is going to cause you to serve one another, church family. For the whole law, verse 14, everybody let's read, I know everybody didn't read that, but let's all read 14 together, gang. I know it's hot in here and we're almost done. Ready? For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Ready? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 12 to talk about that the eye can't say to the hand that they don't need them, but that we are all one body. And if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. My church family, worship band can come up. I do want to encourage you this. We have a fantastic nation. We have a great nation. We have an imperfect nation, and we're working together to make it better. Hang in there. But I want to encourage you in terms of our relationship with Christ. Don't be independent. Intentionally consider each day, I am relying on you, God. I'm relying on your grace. I'm relying on your word. I'm relying on your spirit. That eternal helper, the paracletos that has been called to walk and bear a burden with me, this burden of life. I can't do it on my own. We are totally dependent on God, and we are interdependent upon one another to give and to receive. To receive encouragement, to give encouragement. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word to us today. Thank you, and I ask your blessings to be on our nation. And I pray, God, encouragement for your church. I pray, God, for the church, our church family, that we would meditate on your word today. And God, we would consider how we can, as your word says, strengthen our bonds with one another. How we can look to edify the body. How we can consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Strengthen your church this hour to be all that you've called it to be. This nation needs the hope of the world, which is Jesus Christ. Let us bear the image of Christ effectively, and so be salt and light that is so desperately needed. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. God bless you.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.